You have relieved me in my distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O Son of Man, how long will my honor become a reproach? How long will you love what is worthless and aim at deception? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. The Lord hears when I call him. Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord. Many are saying, who will show us any good? Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Lord. You have put gladness in my heart, more than when their grain and the new wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Psalm 5, for the choir director, for the flute accompaniment, a psalm of David. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Heed the sound of my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor evil dwells with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all who do iniquity. You destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the man of bloodshed and deceit. But as for me, by your abundant loving kindness, I will enter your house. At your holy temple, I will bow in reverence to you. O Lord, lead me in your righteousness because of my foes. Make your way straight before me. There is nothing reliable in what they say. Their inward part is destruction itself. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Hold them guilty, O God, by their own deceit. Let them fall. In the multitude of their transgression, thrust them out, for they are rebellious against you. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy, and may you shelter them. And those who love your name may exult in you. For it is you who blesses the righteous man, O Lord. You surround him with favor as with a shield. And Psalm 6, for the choir director with stringed instruments upon an eight-stringed lyre, a psalm of David. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me with your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am pining away. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are dismayed, and my soul is greatly dismayed. But you, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, rescue my soul. Save me because of your loving kindness. For there is no mention of you in death. In Sheol you will give thanks. I am weary with my sighing. Every night I make my bed swim. I dissolve my couch with my tears. My eye was wasted away with grief. It has become old because of all my adversaries. Depart from me, all you who do iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord receives my prayers. All the enemies will be ashamed and greatly dismayed. They shall turn back, and they will suddenly be ashamed. There you go. Three more psalms. In those, do you kind of see how the people that are writing that and David here are struggling and going through difficulties in life. And this is one of the great places to go when you're going through hard times in your life. Just go into the Psalms and just start reading them, and you'll find yourself in the same positions that these Psalm writers are in, and just a blessing and a help. And usually what it starts off with, oh, there's trouble. God, why are you doing this? And then by the end, he's praising God because he stopped and remembered who God was. So there we go. Well, I said that we're going to be studying some various psalms as we go through, and I thought the best place to start off is the 23rd psalm. So go ahead and open your Bibles there. We're going to start looking just a few verses into the 23rd psalm, a favorite of many. I think it was Dan, were you the one who said that the verse that probably most people know in the Bible is the 23rd Psalm? Yeah, I think I agree with you. 23rd Psalm is just a wonderful rendition. It is known as the Shepherd Psalm. It is a Psalm of David, again. And I want to talk about this a little bit. Before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for another evening that we can just get together. And Father, our purpose tonight is to come before you in prayer. And Father, I pray that even as we pray, that we would share our hearts with you, that we would trust in you, that we would rely on you completely. Father, we thank you for these psalms that you have kept for us, for our edification, for our encouragement, for our hope in you. And Father, I pray that you would use this psalm that you had David write many years ago to be a blessing to our lives tonight. We ask this in your son's name and for his sake. Amen. Now, if I were to ask you for something to be thankful for, I'm sure that each and every one of you could come up with something. I'm not going to do that tonight, but there are plenty of things that we could be thankful for. It's an interesting study. I was taking that resiliency class that Gary teaches, and what they're trying to do is trying to talk about how people can make it through difficult times in their life and such like that, and how as a chaplain we can be there and come alongside somebody who's having a difficulty in their life and what we can encourage them to do to help. Well, the interesting thing that I find is that as they went and shared each and every point, and then they came and brought in a psychologist, they brought in a scientist, you know, all these people, and they brought in all these evidences that this is how it works and it really works out well. Well, I just sat there and I thought, well, you know what? I've studied the Bible long enough that, yeah, everything you're saying, God said that many years before you came up with that. And one of those things is that when we're thankful, we do better. As a matter of fact, science would say, those who are thankful people and take time to be thankful, they're happier, they're less stressed, they're more social, they're more purposeful, they sleep better, they have fewer health complaints, they have increased financial well-being, they even give more to charity. I thought that was interesting, but at the same time, I'm not surprised, because that's what God tells us that we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be people that are thankful. We're not supposed to focus on the bad things. We're supposed to focus on the things that God has done inside of our life and thank him for those things. And when we do, well, surprise, surprise, we're better. That was one of the main things in that resiliency class was you need to be thankful. Well, I think that the writer of this psalm, who was David, was very thankful. As he writes this psalm that we call the Shepherd Psalm. And I guess while we're starting at it, the first phrase there, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I guess let's talk about shepherds for a moment, right? Back in the day, if you remember when we were studying through the life of Joseph, the people in Egypt would not sit with the sons of Jacob. Do you remember why? Because they were shepherds. The world traditionally has not liked shepherds in the past. I mean, we get to the time of Jesus, and you do the study into, all right, God called these shepherds first to come and to see Jesus when he was born. Well, what you find out is that shepherds in that day were not respected either. As a matter of fact, they wouldn't let them testify in court because they weren't trustworthy. They didn't show enough responsibility to be trustworthy. Now, there is one group that I think really appreciated shepherds, and that is sheep, because they were there to protect them and watch over them and guide them and feed them and do all those things that were necessary inside of their life. But generally speaking, people did not have great respect for shepherds, but the people of Israel did. And we know that because who was the first guy that God called to start the nation of Israel? His name was Abraham. And Abraham, before he came, was a shepherd. Then he had a son by the name of, I was talking with somebody tonight about Ishmael, but yeah, Isaac. Isaac became a shepherd. Isaac had two sons, and Jacob was the one in charge. Jacob became a shepherd. We go into they go into Egypt, and there they are. They do all their things. Now it's time to come out of there. Who does God call to lead them out of there? Moses, who for the last 40 years was a shepherd. Their greatest king was David, and he was a shepherd. I think we're getting the idea. The people of Israel had a little different perspective on shepherds than everyone else did, because that was their livelihood. And they looked and they realized the importance of a shepherd. And as we get in here, David is saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." The idea is, he's the one who manages my life. I thought about this for a while, and I thought, other than God being our Father, what would be the best example of who God is in our life than a shepherd? He provides for us. He feeds us. He leads. He manages our daily lives. He's the protector and caregiver, and he's the one who intimately knows us. That is the Lord. God, he is our shepherd. And I think what David was doing was, he was thinking about this for a while, and he was going through the various ways, maybe in his mind, and he's saying, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He's in charge of everything in my life. I guess I don't need anything else. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Well, if I was to take the rest of this psalm, I divide it into two parts, and I just want to share with, I'll share with you the overview of it, and then we're going to talk just about a few things this morning. So I would kind of describe it this way. The Lord shepherds us, or he shepherds us when we're afraid. He shepherds us when we're impatient and foolish. He shepherds us when we're suffering. He shepherds us when we're confused. He shepherds us when we're in the most difficult time of our life. He shepherds us when we're persecuted. And he shepherds us when we're irritated. Does that cover a few areas of your life? Yeah, that covers a lot of it. But here's the neat thing, and I think that made David excited. He shepherds us in love. He shepherds us in abundance. And he shepherds us in perpetuity. I was going to say eternal, but I wanted to do an in. So in perpetuity, he's going to shepherd us. And those are basically, that's kind of how I'd outline this whole thing. And let me start off by looking at the first one. He shepherds us when we're afraid. Ready? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures." Let's stop there for a moment. "He makes me lie down in green pastures." What is this that David is saying? I think he's saying that he helps us and he shepherds us when we're afraid. You ever been afraid? I was just counseling with someone right before you came, and we were talking about fear. We were talking about worry. We went through Matthew chapter 6, and we looked at these things that Jesus said about worry and how it was dangerous, and that we need to stay away from worry as much as we can. But truth be told, we are afraid of things. And I think the one thing that we're most afraid of is, I think we're most afraid when we don't have control. When there's nothing I can do, I've got to just trust in him. We're afraid. We're afraid. And I think that's what David is saying here, because he's a shepherd, right? He was a shepherd. He's writing this now as an old king, I think. That's what most commentators believe as they've gone through this. He's writing this as he's an old king. And as an old king, he's come to this point and he looks back and he says, "You know what? God has been in my life. He's been just like a shepherd in my life. And I remember back when I needed to have my sheep lie down in green pastures." Now, what's so hard about that? I mean, why wouldn't a sheep want to lie down? I mean, I look at them, they're big and fluffy. They like to eat grass. And I think the other thing they like to, you know, I think that if we're we're content and happy and we're big, normally what we like to do is we like to eat and take naps, right? But sheep won't lay down. They won't lay down because they're afraid. As a matter of fact, one shepherd said this: it is almost impossible to get a sheep to lie down unless they are free from fear in four ways. They're free from the danger from other animals, because there's a lot of other animals, so if they even have an inkling that they think anything around there is. Friction with other sheep, so if there's another sheep, then they're going to do that. Pests like flies that are flying around them all the time, and free from hunger, which is kind of one of those circular things. You won't lay down and eat and eat the green pastures because you're hungry, but you got to eat so that you're not hungry. But, you know, we are crazy, crazy animals, and God has God knows who we are. Those things have to happen. And one thing that a shepherd has learned is that the one way to make a sheep feel safe is if the shepherd is near them. And if the shepherd is there, they can lie down in the green pastures. I think the Bible talks about that with God himself towards us, Jesus. It says that he is our rest in Hebrews. He's the one who can bring peace into our life. As a matter of fact, the God of peace sent the Prince of Peace, who sent the Spirit of Peace, so that we might have peace. And so, when we're afraid, the Lord is our shepherd. And I think that we've all been there, maybe even quite often. Maybe even this week, you've had a time where you've just been nervous about what's going to happen. You worry about tomorrow, you worry about yesterday, and that causes us to not do the things that we're supposed to deal with today. But here we are. We're afraid, and we need to just go to our Savior. And David certainly had those times when he was afraid. Can you think of any times when he could have been afraid? Say it again. Oh, that was Daniel. That's okay. He there was a lion that came to him, a bear and a lion, right? A bear, it was a bear and a lion. It was a bear and something, at least. They came to fight again. They came to eat the sheep, and he took his little slingshot and he killed him, right? So I'm sure he was a little nervous there. That was for years. I mean, they were chasing him and they were trying to kill him. Yeah. When he was running away? Oh, I don't know. Because he did the thing with Goliath, and he said, because I did it against them before, so yeah, he might not have been afraid. Well, he wasn't told what to do with the lion. Well, I mean, he knew he had to protect the sheep at all costs. That was his job. That's what Daddy taught him, I'm sure. So these are ways in which he could have, should have, maybe we would have been afraid. And can you think of anything else? I know he was afraid when he went into the Philistine camp. Do you remember that story? He got in there and he's like, oops, here I am. He's running away from Saul, and he had to pretend like he was nuts and crazy and belonged in the third floor at the hospital. And so we know that he was afraid then. He was maybe afraid when his son Absalom kicked him out of the palace and chased him around the world. Yep. There we go. But he could look back in life and say, the Lord was my shepherd when I was afraid. He helped me to lie down in green pastures. I could have peace. We'll do one more and then we'll be done for today. Also, when we're impatient and foolish, he leads me beside quiet waters. Now, I want to ask you a question, and I'll ask you the question after you turn to the next place. Jeremiah chapter 2, I think it is. I can turn to the next page. Jeremiah chapter 2. Yep. Isaiah, Jeremiah. I don't think I have to prove to you that we are impatient type people, because we all have been there before. I probably would even say, even this week, I've been impatient about things, and maybe you have too. But what about this, when we're patient and foolish, okay? Why is it that naturally speaking, when you give kids candy, or when you give a kid's option to eat candy or vegetables, which one are they going to go after? Why is it that the teenager, faced with doing what their parents want and doing what their peers want, they normally want to do what their peers want, right? And I guess we could go on with men. Why is it that we do the foolish things we do? Women, why do you do the foolish things that you do? Older people, why is it that I've got a book in my office? It's called Ambushed at Sunset. And it is all of the temptations that people over 65 have in their life, written by Warren Wiersbe. No, it was endorsed by Warren Wiersbe. It was his good friend who wrote the book. So all these different things. Well, why is it that we are so foolish? And as Dan would say, the children of Israel were really foolish. Here we have an example of it. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13 we're going to read. And as we look at it, what we're going to see is that God is telling Jeremiah, I want you to go to my people and tell them that they've been doing wrong. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And here's the second one, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So basically what he's saying is, children of Israel, you have been sinning against me in this way. First of all, I am the living water. I have the most refreshing water, sort of like the woman at the well. Jesus said, drink from this, you'll never need to drink anymore. It's a fountain of living water. God says, here I am. I am the best, most refreshing water that you can drink from. I am your God. You are my people. Here I am in your midst, and you can have of me and partake of me and enjoy the fellowship that we have together. But no, you don't do that. Instead, he says, you have gone out and you drank from cisterns. Can somebody tell me what a cistern is? Okay. Yeah. Well, back in the day, you know, Israel is known for being a desert area, and it rains like a couple times a year. It has the early and the latter rain, if you ever read that inside of Scripture. So, but they need water, right? And so, what they do is they have these big stones that they carve out so that water would go into them. And if it was sealed properly, it would be okay, right? But he says, you not only drank from the cisterns, you drank from broken ones. So what's going to be the problem if there's a big crack in that cistern and then there's water that is in there? Not just the problem of it going out, but what can come up into there then? Yeah, all sorts of junk, right? You can get little creatures coming into there. You can have mold and whatever come into there. And God says, listen, here I am. I am the fountain of living water, and you could drink from me, spiritually speaking. And you decided that you're going to drink out of cisterns, broken ones, disgusting water. Now, where am I getting at from this? He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. Now, there's a couple of things here that a shepherd would know about sheep and drinking water. Number one, that generally speaking, the way they got most of their water was by eating the grass and the morning dew that was on it. But every once in a while, they needed to take the sheep out to a place to where they could drink water. Okay? And the shepherd had to work really hard to get and find a place that was good for a sheep, because if a sheep put his head or started to walk into a water where it was like a rushing water, what's going to happen to a stupid old sheep? Bye-bye. So he would work out, find a place that was good for them to go, a nice pond or something where they can go and drink from the water, like, and they would go over there and he would take them and lead them there. There's a couple of problems, is that not only were they foolish, but they were impatient too, right? And so they're walking there, and off to the side, there is this rushing water that's coming through, and they hear it, they smell it, they can taste it in their mouth, but the shepherd knows, no, we're not going over there. What's the sheep going to do, some of them? Dumb. They've got the fountain of living water that the shepherd's taking them to, but they're going to go over to this other thing. The other one's a little bit more gross. As they're walking through, it wouldn't be the first sheep there, but maybe the fifth row down the way, all of a sudden there would appear some puddles there. And I don't have to tell you where the puddles came from, except for the sheep in front of there made them as they were walking through. And sheep are dumb and impatient, and they drink it. And David's saying, the Lord is my shepherd. He gives me peace enough to where I can lie down in green pastures, and he's the one who will take me to the right place where I can get the still waters, where I can, my soul can be refreshed. Well, that's just a little bit of what this psalm is talking about, and we'll go on a little bit further.